doing even now in lives and hearts and minds, in the depths of crooked, broken souls. How that we are limited in and of ourselves, but yet with you there is all power given unto men through Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that you turn bones into armies, seas into highways, that you crush power of the enemy in our lives. God, we are shattered into a million pieces. Not only us, but our families, that you put us back together piece by piece by piece. That you heal. You fill all the wounds with the power of your presence, and that, God, we never have to be empty today. That even as you came on the day of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit blew into that house with great authority and power, you are sweeping into the room today. God, we have heaven on earth because you have reached over the balcony of heaven and you have touched us with the authority of your Son, and you allow the Holy Spirit to walk among us even today, even now. Would you clap your hands under the heaven and celebrate him with all that you are today? Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Familiar passage of Scripture. Please turn to someone close to you and tell them when it's all said and done, love above all else. Love above all else. I'm going to talk just for a moment. Share the word of God. Hopefully, he speaks into your heart and your spirit about the subject damaged goods. Damaged goods. You know, you could call me super spiritual, whatever you want to. That first song just set the tone. You'll know more as I get into the word. It seems like lately there's been at least one or more songs, I mean, that just nails as confirmation to what I feel like God has been putting into my heart that week or that month, whatever it may be. I'm glad today that no matter how broken I am, he loves me, amen, and he loves you and he cares. I may not be the absolute best in all things, but I will tell you this, I love you and I try to be as real as I can. And I believe that God cares more about who we are than what we are. Because we can be a lot of things on any given different Sunday, but we are his, and we have eternal life, and we are saved because of the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Go with me to a familiar passage of Scripture, Isaiah 53, verse 6. All, we all, like sheep. You know, it would be easy for us to get offended, but he's God. And he calls us sheep, and sheep are just not the brightest animals in all the world. He said, we've gone astray. He said, we turn to our own way. But the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Prophetic chapter that describes to a T what Jesus will come and do and be. And he fulfilled every prophecy, every word. Oh, if I can't, would you lift your hand? If I can't praise him for anything else, God, I am thankful that Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy, the fulfillment of your word, the fulfillment of promise in our lives every day. If we will seek to be like him, anoint your word, anoint your people together in Jesus' name, and amen, amen. You can be seated for a moment. Henry Nouwen was a Dutch priest, professor, and theologian. He wrote 39 books. He was known best for The Return of the Prodigal Son. And he said this, I love it. Community is the place where the person you least want to live with always lives. Have you ever been to the as-is section in any department store in the mall? You'll see that a lot in the coming days, where the as-is really means damaged goods. You know this is a warning. This is the section of something went wrong. You will find a flaw, a stain that will not come out, a zipper that doesn't zip, a button that will not button, and there will be a problem. Absolutely nothing is normal here. You just described our church, Pastor. And listen, we won't tell you where the flaw is. You have to find it out for yourself. So when you find the flaw, don't even come whining. We're not responsible for the flaw. We won't fix it. There are no refunds and no returns. And if you were looking for perfection, you walked down the wrong aisle at the wrong time. I have found out, Miss Sarah, that humans come from the as-is corner of the universe. We all come with a tag. There is a flaw about us. Some of us have a temper, and some of us, we have a passive spirit. Some have a lust for women, for men, for finances, for money, for fame, and for fortune. And if you enter into a relationship with this model, there is only one way, and that one way is as is. Perfection really doesn't seem to exist at all. In the movie As Good As It Gets, Helen Hunt loves Jack Nicholson. He is kind and he is generous, but also agoraphobic, obsessive, compulsive, and offensive and rude. And Helen Hunt tells her mother, "I just want a normal boyfriend." And her mother says, "Everybody wants one of those. There's no such thing." We live with this illusion that people are somehow normal. And the truth is, we just simply are not. We enter this endless attempt to fix people, to control people, to pretend they are what they are not. And one of the great marks of Christian maturity is to accept the fact that everybody really does come as is. And Jesus really knows this better than we are willing to accept. I am by nature an underdog person. I typically root for the underdog, and the only legendary team I've ever really pulled for that was known as a dynasty was the Boston Celtics. There was a cartoon years ago called Underdog. Anybody old enough to remember that? And he went in a phone booth, and all of a sudden he came out as this monster, this Superman dog, if you will. He was called Underdog. When you think about it, only Jesus Christ can really connect with the underdog like he does. Only Jesus could love Judas after Judas betrayed him and kissed him with a seal of treachery. Only Jesus could love the woman at the well the way that he did when all others had walked away. Only Jesus could love the woman taken in adultery, could love Peter who denied him, and love Saul who tried to kill his church. For us, damaged goods in the damaged goods section are just too damaged. Why? Because it takes time and it takes effort to put many things back together again. Sometimes damaged goods is just too hard for us to take. One of the most painful realizations is that I am included in the as-is department. If you find me, you find me there. When God found you, he found you there. I'm reminded of this magazine article called Totally Normal Women Who Stalk Their Ex-Boyfriends. And so we ask the question, what really is normal? We can try to normalize anything in this life. We try to normalize church and normalize people and normalize sin and even normalize God. And God said, all we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. One thing about God's word, you'll find real people and real characters that live in a real world. And somehow we just skim over all of those chapters and verses and all of those books that describe people who failed and people who messed up and landed in the damaged goods section, but somehow God still loved them and cared for them and reached for them like only he can. You don't have to go far. Go to the book of Genesis alone, and you'll find that Cain is jealous of Abel, and he kills his own brother, his own brother, his own brother. Lamech introduces polygamy into the world. Noah gets drunk and curses his own grandson. Lot is surrounded by sodomites who want to violate angelic guests. And so instead, he offers sex with his own daughters instead. Then his daughters turn around and get him drunk and become pregnant with their own father's baby. Abraham knows favoritism and shows favoritism between Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac plays favorites between Jacob and Esau, one generation to another. Jacob plays favorites and puts a coat of many colors on the back of Joseph and prefers him to his 11 brothers. Joseph's brothers want to kill him and sell him into slavery instead. I'd like to tell you that everybody lived in this holy dream world where everything is Day of Pentecost normal, but they don't. And I'm not talking about right here today. I'm talking about in the Word of God. Abraham has sex with his wife's servant, then sends her and their son off to the wilderness. Isaac and Rebekah fight over which son gets the blessing. Jacob marries two wives. His father-in-law tricks him, and he has to work 7 more years. Both their maids are his concubines. Jacob's firstborn son, Reuben, sleeps with his own father's concubine. Judah sleeps with his daughter-in-law when she disguises herself as a prostitute. She does this because her first two husbands are so evil that God kills them himself. These people probably need a therapist. Dr. Phil, Dr. Ruth, Dr. Laura, Dr. Spock, maybe even Dr. Seuss. But they need something. Let me ask you this. After all of that in Genesis, do you feel any better about your own family now? Yeah, just a little bit. So why does Genesis tell us all this stuff? Because people are really jacked up. They are messed up. We are weird. Sometimes we are counterfeit. Sometimes we are never what we really seem. We all have a motive. We have a methodology. We want this to happen our way. We try to manipulate. They are all like sheep. Habits that seemingly can't be controlled, deeds we can't undo, flaws we cannot correct, like glass is predisposed to shatter, like nitroglycerin is predisposed to explode. We do wrong when conditions are right. It's called depravity. Every one of us pretends to be healthier and happier and kinder than we really are. All sheep, and we have gone astray. But thank God for the Word of God. You see, for the counterfeiter, easy is the means to reward. It would be easy to say sin is predictable and part of life and just leave it there so you're okay. Just do whatever you want to do. It's normal. But don't you ever think for a second in your life that sin is normal. Sin transgresses the will and the plan and the dynamic of who God was, is, and will forever be. It was evil in Genesis, and it's evil today. And if you live in sin and with sin and under sin, You are going against the very nature of who and what God created you to be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but I'm glad that God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved from their sins. Amen. Surely, lift your hands and give God praise for the promise of his word. Whew. That sin is so bad, we just trivialize it. I made a mistake. I'm so tired. We do make mistakes. Sometimes we just live in intentional sin. We come and we fall in an altar and we just go right back to doing the same old, you call it whatever you want, the next day. But God calls it sin, and it is so bad. And I know it's not a popular world. We like to say our mistakes. We like to say, but God calls it sin, and sin is so bad that Jesus, the Son of the living God himself, came to this world as a broken baby in a broken manger, and he gave his blood on Calvary, and he died to pay the price for sin and the payment that it causes. It's easier just to counterfeit, fake it till you make it, where wrong looks right and right looks wrong, and we've never seen it to a level like we see it in this world today. Sin and hiding sin has been in existence since Adam in the Garden of Eden. People are good at hiding. It's easier to be a counterfeit than to be the real thing. But when Jesus came, he came as the light, the Lamb, the legitimate Son of the living God. He exposed sin not to another man, but he exposed it to the old rugged cross of Calvary. And when he did that, the world was exposed to the incredible forgiveness of God over every sin in our lives. And today we really can be free. And I'll tell you this, Jeremy, actually, Pastor, sin is controlling. Sin causes slavery. Sin is manipulative. There's still something in this world that is greater than the power and the hold of sin. It is the forgiveness of a loving God that gave his Son to die for it and raised him from the dead. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. Oh, Pastor, you're calling me out today. You want me to confess my sins? The Word of God says, confess your faults one to another. Sometimes we put so much more emphasis on the sin than we do the forgiveness of God. And God, let me tell you what God wants to do. Brother Dana, he wants to expose his forgiveness over the power of sin, way more than he's trying to expose your sin. You have to expose that inside your own heart. You don't have to tell anybody else, but you do have to tell God, and you have to mean it with God, and you have to change with God, and you have to open your will and your life and your ways to the things of God. You can't get to his forgiveness until you get past your sin. Counterfeit is coming to church like you're all grown up, but going home and fussing like you're a six-year-old. Counterfeit is confessing that all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and that's me. But then we put other people in their own compartments and we label who we think is real or not. Counterfeit is somehow thinking that my sin is little, Joey, and your sin is big, and that I have a right to write you off or write you in, that I get to make your decision for heaven or hell, eternal death or eternal life. And we never just assume either. Somewhere I hear the ancient mouthpiece of God himself declare, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What are you thankful for, Pastor, today? What are you thankful for, Patrick? I am thankful today because God forgives me. I'm flesh and blood just like you. We're flesh and blood just like one another. We fall short, but thank God for his forgiveness. I love my family, and I love the traditions of Thanksgiving. And I love all that God, but most of all, I am thankful that he forgives me sometimes when I can't even forgive myself. I hear Paul shout out loud, but bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I hear Paul shout, get rid of all bitterness and rage and rancor and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, even as God forgave you in Jesus Christ. If you're forgiven today, if you're covered, would you lift your hand and take a moment and praise him from the depths of your heart? Not for anyone else, for yourself right now. Would you take a moment, just praise him, talk to him. I tell you, not only does God forgive, but he tells us to forgive one another. Sometimes the biggest counterfeit in the room is not the one who needs forgiveness, but the one who refuses to forgive others. But I found this to be true in all of our sin. When the world can't let it go, God let it all go. When Jesus died on the cross and he stretched his arms out and he said, it is finished. It's over. It's done. I have forgiven every. The reason that some theologians believe that Jesus took on every sin of the world was when he bowed his knee to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed 63 words. And the Bible said that his sweat became as drops of blood. It's not only a biblical fact, it's a scientific fact that it can happen under extreme, unworldly duress and sorrow. And that when he prayed that prayer in that garden, he was, while the disciples slept through it, he is taking on every sin of the world, and that God puts the perfect blood of Jesus on the altar of heaven. And when I could never be perfect, he became perfect for all eternity. And there is no sin in this house that he does not have the power to forgive. Let me move us forward. The thing that you need more than anything in this world in your own life is to look in the mirror and connect with what's real. If you walk out of here today and you keep measuring your life by traditions and the standard of what so many others think, and you've just accepted to be the norm, you could miss the very voice of God himself. You've got to deal with you. You've got to deal with what's real. We need to be affirmed. I want to be admired. When you encourage me, I don't get the big head. I don't go home and tell Kelly, guess what Dana told me today? Now, I may show her a text or two every now and then, but I don't say it. We want to be affirmed. We want to be uplifted. And we don't become cocky and arrogant in that. We take it with great humility and we say, God, thank you that somehow you spoke something into my life. You made a difference in my heart. There was a movie several years ago called Catch Me If You Can. It was great Hollywood fodder. Tom Hanks was in it. Leonardo DiCaprio. It was called Catch Me If You Can. And it's great drama and all of those things, but it is in reality based on a true story. This guy flew airline jets and never had the training of a pilot. He was a lawyer in Louisiana. He was a doctor in the emergency room. His name was Frank Abagnale, and he became one of the greatest counterfeiters of all time. And at the end, he's finally caught, and his life is turned upside down, and he goes to prison, he goes to jail. But what happens? He starts working for the FBI, and he starts helping them catch counterfeiters. And Frank Abagnale turned his life around, and he became a greater help than he was a hindrance to those that chased him. But it was all born out of the fact that he felt like he had missed the affirmation of his own father. And later on, it was revealed that he actually did take the bar in Louisiana with no training, and he passed the bar in Louisiana. He's seeking to be affirmed. It is the fiercest longing of the soul to want to be appreciated and to belong and to feel like you matter. Most people in this world, when they looked at Mary Magdalene, they would just consider her damaged goods. They would see Mary Magdalene, and many have called her a prostitute. Many have labeled her through the years. They have put more emphasis on what she was than what she became. They tried to identify her as a romantic or in a sexual relationship with Jesus, contrary to the fact that there's not one reliable ancient source that even remotely backs that up. Sometimes Satan will take and make what is real and reliable and make it look counterfeit or fake. He has tried to take the relationship with Mary Magdalene to Jesus and to make it a mockery and to make it something that the world can look on and be consumed with and mock it and laugh at it and belittle it. That way Satan does not have to deal with his own nature as fallen. He doesn't have to deal with his own behavior and the fact that he became obstinate toward the glory of God himself. Pope Gregory the Great called Mary Magdalene a prostitute. Hear me. In 591 AD, he labeled her in 591 AD, and it stuck. But the Bible does not call her that anywhere at all. It was not retracted until 1969. You do the math. Over 1,000 years, that's a lot of years to be called something that you are not. Guess what? We all deal with it, amen? By someone who did not have the right to put that kind of label on her at all. This morning I tell you, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. If you are forgiven, you are forgiven by God himself, and you are no longer what the world has labeled you as being. The problem is that some people are called phony and fake and unreal long enough, they start to believe it themselves. And I want to tell you this morning, you are what God says you are. And when you walk in the power and the authority of the forgiving blood of Jesus Christ, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. Can I tell you that neither height nor depth nor any other creature can ever separate you from the love and the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus? You do what you want to today, but I'm connecting to the Word of God. I'm connecting to the promise of God. I'm connecting to the love of God. I'm connecting to the forgiveness of God that makes me white as snow and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Lift your hand one more time and praise him. I will tell you this though. Mary Magdalene was what she was because 7 demons controlled her every move. Oh, Pastor, now you've got to get super spiritual on us. Sometimes it's easier to just call somebody a prostitute and pass on by that, but the word says she was controlled by 7 demons. But the truth of Christ is that he reached out and he touched her life and he changed her forever. He forgave her. That's why she reached for him at the resurrection. Do you remember this? And he said, "Don't touch me yet. I'm not yet ascended." Why did he do that? Because Jesus died on the cross and he descended into hell. He took back the keys of authority and he said, hey, I'm on my way back to the Father. I'm taking the keys with me, but I want you to know there's something more important that I'm taking than the keys. I'm taking the shed blood of Calvary. I was, am, and will forever be the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb. And the blood that I've shed is perfect blood. So when Mary reached out to him, Mary reached out to him and she just wanted to embrace him. He is alive. He was dead for 3 days and she reaches out. He said, don't touch me yet because I have perfect, undefiled blood. I saw you in the garden. I care about you. I love you. I just wanted to stop by and let you know I'm still here, but I'm going to the Father with the blood. And when I put the blood on the altar, then I'll come back. And then you can hug me. And then you can love me. Then you can touch me because the price has been sealed and paid forever. And you are free from the power of sin in your life. Amen. Oh, somebody clap your hands and praise him in this house. That's the real thing, baby. Stand with me all over this house. Her connection wasn't phony or fake or perverted. But it was the relationship of a Savior to a sinner set free. And I believe there's someone in this house today on a Thanksgiving weekend. You need to be set free. But there's only one way that'll happen. It won't happen with Dr. Phil and Dr. Reese. And it will happen on that Sunday or that Monday or that Tuesday that you get real with God and put everything on the altar. Say, here I am, God. I'm not trying to manipulate any other circumstance. I'm not trying to touch you before the blood does its work. He never gave up and he never gives up on people. You can say what you want to about Mary, but she was there on the day of the resurrection. No matter how defiled or demon-possessed she had been, she was there and she was free. And you can say whatever you want to about male-female roles. You can get all bent out of shape over where people are supposed to serve and not serve. And there are some roles. You don't want me trying to have a baby. I can't do it. That's a God role. There are some things that God designated, and I don't even know if role is the accurate term. It's God's place for us in the kingdom. But you can say whatever you want to, but on that morning, Mary Magdalene was preaching the gospel. You can try to chop that up and dig that up theologically, however you want to, but on that morning, that woman was preaching the gospel. She didn't care. This is the one who saved me and redeemed me and cast seven devils, hellish demons out of my life. And that I only have a right mind today because he touched me. The North American porcupine has 30,000 quills that can be driven into you or into an enemy. Maybe today we have too many sheep that have turned into porcupines. And we condemn and we point the finger. Body heat causes that quill to expand and those wounds fester, become infected, and they can kill. They can be fatal. The name porcupine literally means irritable back. They keep you at a distance. They don't even have a name. They're not a flock. They're not a committee. Did you know that the rhinoceros in tandem is called a crash? That just makes sense. A crash of rhinoceri. I don't know if that's a word or not. But porcupines are so messed up, they don't even have a title. They work independently. and they stick it to you. We have our own arsenal barbs like rejection and condemnation, resentment, arrogance, envy, contempt, selfishness, competition. Sometimes we just single out the damaged ones and we just heap it on. We don't make it better. I'm thankful for City of Lies. I'm thankful for what Deborah does in Jasper, because we've got some real people with real hearts to reach out to Mary Magdalene's and reach out to. And everybody's not, may not be gifted in that area. But I'm thankful for this church because we do more than just sing. And we do more than just preach. And we do more than just stand here on Sunday morning and lift our hands. And I'm a weeper. It's hard for me to get past worship without weeping and just being humbled in the presence of God. I love it. You see what you want to, but we got guys like Joey and so many others. Zach, that's your son, and y'all related. We got guys that every month, cold, hot, rain or shine, when people come to this lineup, hundreds line up for this food bank. They get, if you're part of that team that has helped with our food bank, would you raise your hand wherever you are this morning? And they stand out there for hours and they direct traffic. And people roll their windows, can I have this? Can I do that? And they're there to help make that need happen. I'm glad. Aren't you thankful that we are a church like that? I believe. Those are the hands and the feet of Jesus. People who serve our school every day. For it, against it. Think it's a blessing, think it's a headache. 350 plus students every day down there that somebody like Erica is ministering to, teaching their kids. So many that help here in so many other ways. Joey and Nancy with our young adults. I could go on and on. This morning, he loves you. Adam said in the garden, he said, I thought about my sin. I knew who you were, and I hid. And I hid. I want to encourage you today, you don't have to hide. You don't have to run. You don't have to be ashamed. Show up at the resurrection like Mary did with your head held high. And say, but for the grace of God. Would you bow your heads just for a moment today? God's already done a work in our altars and in our worship. But if you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I've got some things that I need to make right with God. I've had some thoughts about a brother or a sister. I'm wrestling with some of my own fears and some of my own past. And this morning, I need to be free. I don't want to leave this house on this Thanksgiving weekend without giving you an opportunity to be thankful. If that's you today, this altar is open. You say, I just need God to speak to my heart and my life. If that's you, would you come right now? From the balcony, from the floor, wherever you are, if that's you and you need God to touch you and speak into your life today. Yes, before.